Then Pilate said to Jesus, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After Pilate had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. They rejected their king. Rejected Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to take a trip back to Jerusalem. And take a look at the events, the timeline, the locations, and the process that took place that first Holy Week, which resulted in the rejection of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to use a slide tonight of a map, and hopefully, if we can dim the lights a little bit. Unfortunately, we had a power surge and knocked out some of our equipment this week, so the people over there in the more expensive seats, feel free to move over here to see. Now, that's a busy map, and you're saying, "Gee, I can't read it, and what's this all about?" Well, my main purpose in this is to show you the flow of events during Holy Week and to see something that I have never realized until I started studying maps, that what happened on Holy Thursday night carried into Friday, there was a lot of traveling that went from one place to another. Never realized how much Jesus had to go through, the humiliation of being beaten, bound, and dragged through the streets of Jerusalem with phony arrests, with trials, with a number of things that just really, really humiliated him. And yet he did it willingly. We're going to start way up here on Palm Sunday in Bethany. And he comes in, and we see that he entered into the gates of Jerusalem. And you recall what happened. Everybody was cheering the king. "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who has come in the name of the Lord." Great, great crowds. So he comes into Jerusalem. All right. And then later on that day, he goes back out to Bethany. He stayed with who? Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. They're out here about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. All right. That's Palm Sunday and Sunday night. Monday, he comes back in. And as he comes back in, sees a tree, a fig tree, and he cursed that fig tree. Then he came in further. This is the temple right here. And he cleansed the temple. What did he do there? How did he cleanse it? He threw out the money changers. All right. That was on Monday. And then he goes back. Tuesday was a very busy day. He came back in and he taught a lesson on why the fig tree had withered. He then debated the Jewish leaders. He denounced the scribes and the Pharisees. And he taught a discourse to his disciples on the last things. Mount of Olives is up in here. Gethsemane is over here. Mount of Olives is here. That's where the Olivet Discourse was spoken, where Jesus was telling his disciples about the end. Wednesday, a conspiracy to kill Jesus by the chief priests was taking place. And that's when Judas sold out Jesus. In the evening, Jesus had dinner in Bethany, and that's when Mary Magdalene anointed him for his burial, much to the dismay of Judas, who thought the money should be used for the poor. That's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Thursday, we see the king is at the Passover, way down in here in the upper room. It's Thursday night. And then he goes from here all the way up to Gethsemane. All right? And he retires there to pray. Now, as we mentioned on Sunday, the Gospel of John does not include Jesus' prayer at Gethsemane. So that's where we look to the other Gospels to get a better idea of what was going on when Jesus retired to pray. So there he is up there with his disciples. And that is where he is betrayed by who? How did Judas show the mob who Jesus was? By a kiss. That was up here. He's then taken all the way back down to Caiaphas' house. Here's the temple. Here's Gethsemane. Comes all the way down to Caiaphas' house. And there's a preliminary trial that takes place there, and it carries over into early Friday. Good Friday morning. There are a number of things that take place, and we'll see how he is taken before Pilate. Then he's taken to other officials. Then he's taken back to Pilate. You see these arrows going back and forth like this. He appears before Herod Antipas. The rejected king appears again before Pilate. And that's where John 19 is picking up, where we read, "Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came out saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, 'See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him.' So Jesus came out wearing a crown." This is about the area that we're talking about. All right. "Comes out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And the angry mob is already gathered there. And he says, 'Behold the man.' And when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out. When they saw Jesus, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate said to them, 'Take him for your, take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him.'" So from there, they moved Jesus up to Golgotha. That's outside the city wall. All right. Place called the Skull. Jesus is there. That's where he was crucified. And there was a garden just near it. And that's where he was buried. That afternoon on Friday, the rejected king suffered and died outside the gates. Can I have that next slide? When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." As Jesus was on the cross, he gave his mother to his beloved disciple to take care of. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, "To fulfill the scriptures, I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." He accomplished his mission. All right. Died on the cross. And since it was a day of preparation, the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when he came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out water and blood. That was later in the afternoon. Have the next slide, please. Tomb that Jesus was buried in. There was an opening here, and they took him inside to this second chamber, and it was a stone slab or a bench, and that's where he was buried. And over here is a great large stone that was rolled to cover the entrance to the grave. That took place before sunset. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as it is a burial custom of the Jews. On Saturday, the next day, Jesus lay in the tomb. That's where his body was. And stayed there until Sunday morning when he rose from the dead. And we'll talk about the risen king in a couple of days. One of the reasons I use this map is to show the flow of events that took place during Holy Week, especially from Thursday night on. How it was wicked political and religious leaders, how they humiliated Jesus, the king. They didn't just want to get rid of him. They wanted to humiliate him, make an example of him by the way they arrested him, paraded him through the streets of Jerusalem, take him from one place to another, bound and bloodied. If I was to give a title to the arrest through his crucifixion, I would use the title, "The Royal Runaround." All all those areas, back and forth, one side of the city to the other, finally taking him out. I mean, how badly do you treat a king, the Son of God? But as bad as all of this was, it paled in comparison to the divine rejection the king experienced from his own heavenly Father. Can we go back to the slide on the crucifixion? The king was rejected by all the people, but he was also rejected by his Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. He prayed to his Father, and his Father didn't answer his prayer. He didn't save him. Jesus goes on to pray, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me, and they make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Furthermore, in Psalm 22, we read, many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. David penned this 1,000 years before Christ was crucified. You could see what Jesus was going through Jesus' mind when he was on the cross. He was reciting the Psalms. Christ cried out for his Father's help, and his Father did not answer his prayer. God rejected his own Son. Why did he do that? Because God the Father had caused the iniquity of us all to fall on his Son. And like a worm, he was forsaken and crushed in our stead. The king was made sin, and that is why his Father rejected him. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, God the Father made God the Son to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. God rejected his Son because he made his Son a curse. We read in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. We see a great contrast between Jesus, who he was, and what he was made to be. Jesus Christ was a sinless man, perfect in every way. He was God, fully man. That's who he was. But he was made to be sin. Made to be sin. He was made to be a curse. Why? For all of us. Why? So we would not be cursed. So we would not have to pay the penalty of our sins. Jesus was a rejected king, rejected by the people, rejected by his own father. He was made a curse for us. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. So all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have broken God's law. We are all sinners, transgressors, lawbreakers. All of us are cursed, denied access to heaven. We are all objects of divine wrath. We are all cut off from heaven. All of us are condemned without pity. All of us deserve to be punished. That's the bad news. The good news is, for all who believe in Jesus Christ, we're not cursed. We're not judged. We're not condemned. Why? Because Jesus took our place. And that's what the cross is all about. That's what Good Friday is all about. Paul Washer writes, "It is not an exaggeration to say that the last things that the accursed sinner should and will hear when he takes his first step into hell is all of creation standing to its feet and applauding God because he has rid the earth of such a one. Such is the disdain of the Holy One towards the unholy." Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He was rejected by his Father so that those who believe in him would be accepted by the Father. That's why it's Good Friday. He was condemned so believers could be forgiven. None of Jesus' sins were forgiven. All of our sins on him. He had to take the punishment for them. So that we would not be punished for them. That's an amazing Savior that we have. You talk about the love of God for each one of us. God wants us to be reconciled to him. He wants us to be in glory. He wants to forgive us our sins. And that's why he sent his Son. And Jesus came because he loved us. He had the power to call down legions of angels and wipe out everybody. But if he did that, we wouldn't be saved. People were yelling at him when he was on the cross, "Hey, come on down from there and show us that you're the king, and then we'll believe in you." If he came down from the cross, none of us would have been saved because we'd still be in our sins. Jesus did not come down from the cross because he loved us, and he suffered God's wrath. He drank every drop from that cup. Christ suffered the terrifying rejection, abandonment, and wrath of God. He satisfied the justice of God. He appeased the wrath of God. And he made reconciliation with God possible. And that invitation is extended to all of us. That we, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done, we stop trusting in ourselves to be good enough to get to heaven, but trust in him. Our sins are forgiven. Christ's work on the cross is credited to our account. We're forgiven. Have you received Jesus Christ as your King? Is he your Lord? As we ponder the cross and the rejection and the wrath that he suffered. This afternoon, as I was meditating on this passage, it dawned on me as I thought about what Christ suffered. If we don't believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Lord, we're going to experience that. We're going to experience the wrath of God because of our sin. If we believe in His work, our sins are forgiven. But if not, we will experience eternal punishment. That's something that we don't even go any further with. Horrifying. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Don't reject the King, or you'll be rejected by the Father. If you accept the King, the Heavenly Father will accept you as forgiven and as a child of God. Let's pray.